Good morning. On behalf of Brother Patrick English in Chicago, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. To John Young, good job, John. Enjoyed the song service this morning. May God bless you and continue to strengthen you in whatever you set your mind to do. As it was read in your hearing, in Micah chapter number 4 and verse number 5, I would like to go back and reread that passage of scripture for emphasis sake, after which we will give you a sermon topic for your prayerful consideration. In Micah chapter 4, and I believe Brother EJ read verse number 5. These are the words for us this morning. Micah says, for all people will walk everyone in the name of his God. And notice the word God at this point is the lowercase g. Micah said, for all people will walk everyone in the name, underscore the word name, in the name of his God. And we will walk, how, Micah? In the name of the Lord our God, capital G, forever and forever. Then turn with me very quickly to Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 11 and 12, where the Bible said, this is the stone which was set in naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none of a name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter says in the book of Acts that there is neither salvation in any other, for there is none of a name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I used for a subject topic this morning for your prayerful consideration. I call it this morning, there is something in a name. There is something in a name. The contextual setting and situation of our text today is an old prophecy coming out of the book of Micah, which appears to be confirmed over in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts concerning the spiritual name that people should wear religiously, which has been issued and ordained by God, which separates them from other religious groups that are built and founded by men. For Micah again says, Micah says in Micah chapter 4 and verse 5, Micah echoes down through the telescopes of time and says to us today, for all people who walk everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of our Lord God forever and ever. Then again, in Acts chapter 4, Peter says at verse number 11, that this is the stone which was set and not of the buildings, which has become the head of the corner. Peter says, and neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now that is how it reads in the King James Version. But I like how this reads in the New International Version, because the King James Version said, but there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Whereas the NIV Version of the Bible said, there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. You see, there is a big difference, my friend, of names given by men as opposed to a name that has been given to men. I say that again. There's a difference in names given by men as opposed to names given to men. That's what this sermon message primarily is all about today. For you see, folk throughout our religious world of confusion, as I like to call it, they're running all the time wearing names and going by names religiously in order to identify their religious group or their religious movement, if you will, that was originated, orchestrated, and conceived from the hearts and minds of men. Instead of wearing the name that was designed, developed, and distributed to men that come directly from the mind of God. So I've come today on the Zoom telecast. I've come today, my brothers and sisters, and particularly to those of you who are viewing this message by way of Zoom, who may not share the same religious conviction or views of those of us who are blood-bought members of the churches of Christ, that without fear of successful contradiction, I adamantly say that yes, contrary to popular opinions and general beliefs of earthly scholars and religious teachers and those who advocate and spread this damnable doctrine, which says that there is nothing in a name, that to the contrary, I came to tell you that everything is in a name. Because names mean something. Names are important. And names are definitely necessary. And so when it comes down to one religious choice and their commitment and conviction to God, folks say that it doesn't matter what name you wear religiously, so long as your heart is right. But let me serve notice, and let me continue to remind you according to the inherent word of God, that there is no other name given among men whereby we must, not that we have a choice in the matter, or that there is something left up for us to do to direct ourselves to heaven, but the Bible says that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, which says to me, and it ought to say to you, my friend, that names map. It says to me that names are important when it comes to being saved. And does it really matter? Does it really make a difference? Does the name that we wear religiously, does it have any merit or validity and distinction and value and advantage, any credit as to determine whether one would or would not inherit eternal salvation? Well, for just a few more minutes of your time, I would like to explore and examine the mere facts of how that names are important to God, while at the same time, I want to tear apart and totally dispose of the idea and the myths, as well as the false teachings of how that names have no effect on us spiritually and biblically, and that names does not matter to us at all religiously, and that they have no worthiness, no eminence, and no direct consequences to our religious motives and our religious worship service that we offer up to God. But today, I want to make it crystal clear, my friend, that the name that you wear religiously is significant, it is important, and that the name you wear religiously is fundamentally critical and imperative and crucial and vital to the stubborn truth that if you want to be saved, if you plan to go to heaven, and if you want your worship service to God to be pleasing and acceptable in his sight, then you must wear the right name. Well, if you will, I want us to look at a syllogism. You see, for a syllogism is a form of reasoning in which a conclusion is drawn, whether it be valid or not. But it is a scheme of syllogism. It's a scheme of argument which ultimately leads to a conclusion drawn from two given or assumed propositions or premises, if you will. That is a major premise and a minor premise. Whereas each proposition or premise will share a common or middle term, not presented in the conclusion. Thus saying that if the major premise is true, and if the minor premise is true, then no doubt that the conclusion must be true as well. And so this morning, my friend, my major premise to this lesson entitled "There Is Something in a Name," my major premise is that God himself authorized in the very beginning of time that all things be named. Now that's my major premise. You see in Genesis chapter 5, if you have the Bibles, and around verse number 1 and 2. And this is how I know that this major premise is true. Because in Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 2, the Bible says that this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and called their name Adam in the same day in which they were created. Now notice, if you will, in the beginning, in the very beginning of time, God made the first human beings that ever existed upon the face of the earth. And God made them, the Bible said, both male and female. And God called their name Adam. Well, who are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the first man and the first woman. I'm talking about Adam and Eve. God himself gave them names. The Bible said that their names were Adam and Eve. So God, listen, my friend, God felt that giving them names was important. God felt that it was important in the very beginning of time to call the first human being by a distinctive and an individual name. That's Adam and Eve. And as I've already stated and forementioned, that names are important to God. You see, names were so important to God that later on God changed Abram's name to Abraham. Name was so important to God that God changed her name to Sarah. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. He changed Peter's name to Cephas. He also changed Saul of Tarsus. He turned Saul's name to Paul because names were important to God. And again, listen, that's my major premise. Well, now let's take a look at my minor premise, because I know that my major premise is right. And no one can touch my major premise because it is written in the Bible. And the Bible is right. The old folks say the Bible is right. The old preachers will say the Bible is right. And somebody is wrong. And so there is not a theologian living or dead. There is not a preacher with 10 members or 10,000 members. There is not a religious movement that can tell me that names are not important to God. But now here's my minor premise. And y'all stay with me for a minute or two, because I'm definitely going somewhere with all of this. For you see, not only did God from the very beginning of time, not only did God authorize that all things be named by naming himself, the first man and the first woman, but my minor premise makes us know that after Adam received his name from God, God turned right around and charged Adam to name every living creature that walked or crawled or flew up on the face of the earth. Now look at your Bibles and back up, if you will, to Genesis chapter 2 and around verse number 19, where the Bible distinctively says, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and he brought them unto Adam to see what Adam would call them. Watch this. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, then that was the name of that creature thereof. In other words, this clearly states that if Adam named the dog a dog, then a dog had been called a dog ever since Adam named the dog a dog. If Adam named a cat a cat, then a cat has been called a cat ever since Adam named a cat a cat. If Adam named a cow, then a cow has been called a cow ever since Adam named a cow. If Adam named a certain fish a fish, then a fish has been called that fish ever since Adam named that fish a fish. If Adam named a bird, then a bird has been called a bird ever since Adam named the bird. Now get this, and this is my point. You see, Adam didn't name Sasquatch or Bigfoot. Adam didn't name E.T. or Chewbacca or C-3PO. Adam didn't name Santa Claus. Adam didn't name the Easter Bunny or the Wizard of all. These are all names given by men. But everything and every animal that was made and created by God, God brought them to Adam. And whatever Adam gave a name, whatever name Adam gave them, that was the name thereof. That has been the name ever since Adam named it. In other words, God authorized that everything be named. And he gave that charge and that privilege to Adam to name everything living, creatures that walk, creatures that fly, creatures that swim up on the face of the earth. And so I'm telling you this morning, my friend, don't let some flat-footed, no vertebrae, knee, knock-fit knee, dusty, crusty-eyed man tell you that there is nothing in a name, because everything is in a name. Now let's go back and let's look at this thing logically and biblically. For you see, God, my major premise is God authorized everything to be named. That's my major premise. And then Adam named everything that was created by God. That's my minor premise. Therefore, if my major premise is right, and if my minor premise is right, then I can conclude that names are definitely important to God, especially when it comes down to religion. Now, that's my argument, and that's my syllogism. And as the old folks say, the proof is in the pudding. So let's get down to the brass tacks of the matter real quick. For you see, the days in which we live today, in this 21st century, we even have some so-called modern-day Church of Christ preachers who have been sold on the idea that names are not important to God. As a matter of fact, as a matter of speaking, we have a renowned gospel preacher of the Churches of Christ, who declared that names are not important to God, and that God did not name the church in the Bible, signifying that the name of your church does not matter to God and the validity of your religious salvation. Well, I only have three problems with that kind of thinking and that type of teaching. And that is, number one, it just ain't right. Number two, it just ain't true. And then number three, it ain't biblical. And certainly it isn't sound doctrine. But I hear the Apostle Paul instructing those young preachers, namely Titus and Timothy, as Paul took a glance down the telescopes of time in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and around verse number 1, Paul says, now the Spirit speaking expressly that in the latter times, some, not all of them, but some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then Paul went on to tell Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1. Paul told that young man, Paul told Titus, he said, preach those things which become sound doctrine and sound speech. Paul says those things which cannot be overthrown or condemned, that he that's of the contrary part, Paul said, may be ashamed. So trust me this morning, my brothers and my sisters, we're definitely living in those latter times where Paul was referring to in a futuristic sense. And then listen, Paul tell those boys over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and beginning at verse number 1, Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in this kingdom. Paul said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why, Paul? Paul said, because the time will come. And if Paul was living today, Paul would say that time has come, when they will not endure, men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they eat to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto faith. So when one goes around town, listen, my friend, telling folk that names are not important, I'm here on this Zoom telecast and wanted to tell you that that is not sound doctrine. When you say that God did not name the church in the Bible, then I'm telling you that that is not sound doctrine. When you tell folk that one church is just as good as another, or that one faith is just as good as another, I came on the Zoom worship service to say that that is not sound doctrine. And watch this, my friend. Isn't it interesting how that God, when God, in the very beginning of time, created all the living creatures up on the face of the earth, that he was making sure that they all had their own individual name, which consequently has nothing to do with our salvation at all. But then when he established the church, which has everything to do with the salvation of men, and I'm talking about that place where man can get in, live in, die in. I'm talking about the church. I mean, resurrected up to God in that self same place, that it was God himself who would make absolutely sure that he would distinguish just as well that that blood bought institute, he would distinguish the church by name. I'm talking about that church that was built and founded by Christ. For I heard Christ declare himself in Matthew chapter 16 and around verse number 18. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes, Jesus built the church of Christ, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Then, this was signifying when he said, yeah, not them. It was signifying that the Lord built just one church. Even the prophet of old, who never set one foot in the church, they agreed and they understood and realized that there will be only one church. I'm not talking about brick and mortar, but that spiritual institution called the Church of Christ. They agreed that it would be single and that it would be one, and that it would be the only one where salvation could be found. But Daniel says in Daniel chapter 2 and around verse number 44, you see, Daniel picked up his pen of inspiration. Daniel knew that there would be only one church in the Bible. When Daniel said, in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But not them, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these other kingdoms. And it, not them, shall stand. How long, Daniel, is going to stand forever? And then when Isaiah picked up his pen of inspiration, Isaiah also talked about it and not them. When Isaiah declared in Isaiah chapter 2, and around verse number 2, Isaiah said that it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hill. And all nations, that's China, that's America, that's Japan, that's Africa, that's France. He said all nations. In other words, all people shall flow into it and not them. Paul himself, Paul went further than that. Paul went on to tell us that the name of what the name of the one church was, contrary to those that say that God never named the church, because when you get to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 18, Paul said that the church is the body. Then when you turn over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22, Paul said that the body is the church. So if I can see how many bodies there is in the scriptures, then I know that it's just that many churches, because the body is the church and the church is the body. Well, I'm glad you asked the question, for the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4, Paul said there is one body. And my friend, if there can only be one body, that means there can only be one church. And then when you flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12, Paul, keeping the same thought, Paul said, for as the body is one and has many members. And what Paul was doing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul was making an analogy, a metaphor. He's showing you the relationship of a physical body as comparison to the relationship of the church that Christ built. And Paul, in his argument, Paul said, for the body or the church, my friend, is not one member, but many. And if all the members of that one church being many, or that one body being many, so also is Christ. And so, my friend, Paul, in his argument, Paul, in his syllogism, Paul is trying to get us to see that the body is the church, and the church is the body. But somebody said, but Paul didn't name the name of the church. Well, yes, he did. Because if you read on down to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, drop down to verse 27, Paul said, now ye are the body of Christ. In other words, Paul said, ye are the church of Christ and members in particular. Paul called them the church of Christ. And I know Paul knew what he was talking about, because when you run over to Romans chapter 16, at this time, Paul knows that they understand that the body is the church. And let me tell you, my friend, our old wise man Solomon said a long time ago, Solomon said, get wisdom, because wisdom is the principal thing. He said, but out of all your getting, get what? A understanding. And that's what I'm trying to do this morning, my friend, is to get you to understand that the Lord Jesus built but one church. And that church is called the church of Christ. But Paul says in Romans chapter 16, he ain't even dealing with the body at this point, because he knew that they understood that the body was the church, and the church is the body to those Christians in Rome. And so Paul says in Romans 16:16, Paul says, salute one another with a holy kiss. He said, the churches of the Methodists. No, the churches of the Baptists. No, the churches of the Catholic. No, he said, the churches of Christ salute you. So don't tell me, my friend, that the church doesn't have a name. My friend, listen. The church is the bride of Christ. Christ is married to the church. And every traditional wedding that I've ever attended and known, the bride always take on the name of her husband. Now, she might end up with the best man name about 2-3 years later, but on that wedding day, the bride took on the name of her husband. And if Christ is the husband and the church is the bride, this is why the Bible refers to it as the church of Christ. Now, as I close, and there's so much more I could say to this matter, but as I close, when you talk about all of these churches that were built and founded by men, and any church and every church that was not founded by Christ was built and founded by men. And anything, listen, my friend, anything that starts with man will eventually and inevitably end with man. For I heard the psalmist said in Psalms 127 and verse number 1, the psalmist said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Then I heard Jesus, the master, say in Matthew chapter 15 and 13, Matthew said, Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father had not been planted shall be rooted up. And the old preachers used to say concerning all these churches that were built and founded by men, they would say, room day is coming. As so I advise anyone today that is not a member of the Lord's church, you may be on the Zoom telecast this morning, I advise you this morning, my friend, to become a member of the Bloodborne Institute called the Church of Christ. Come on out of the religious denominations and get into that one fold, that one body, that one church where salvation can be found. For Paul says, again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11, listen, my friend, I ain't making this up. This is coming straight out of the Bible. Paul says, for foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus the Christ. Then Peter says again, in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 11, Peter says, this is that stone that was set in off of your builders, which has become the head of the corner, and neither is salvation in any other. Listen, my friend, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All you need to get into the one church today, my friend, that teaches one Lord, one faith, one baptism. All you need to come out of the denominational world and get in that blood-bought institution called the Church of Christ. Come out of denominationalism. Get in the Church of Christ. For the Bible urges us, according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 21, it said, touch not, handle not, which all are perish, the using and the commandments of men. I tell you, my friend, that when we look at our religious world of confusion today, it looks like a denominational whirlwind. Now, somebody might say, Brother Carter, what in the world are you talking about? And what in the world is a denominational whirlwind? Well, what I'm referring to, what I'm talking about is A, Assemblies of God, B, Baptist Church, C, Catholic Church, D, the Disciples of Christ Church, E, the Episcopalian Church, and the Eastern Stars, F, the Full Gospel Church, G, the Greek Orthodox Church, H, the Holiness Church, I, the Independent Baptist Church, J, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and K, the Kingdom Hall, L, the Lutheran Church and the Latter-day Saints, M, the Methodist Church, N, New Jerusalem, New Hope, and New Mount Zion Baptist Church, O, the Open Fellowship Church, P, the Pentecostal Church, and B, T.D. Jakes' old Potter House, Q, the Quakers, R, the Reformed Church, S, the Seventh-day Adventist, T, Trinity and True Life Deliverance Center, U, the United Methodist Church, D, Victory Christian Center, W, Worldwide Outreach and Creflo Dollars World Changing Church, X. Now I have to skip over X and go to Y. Y, the YMCA, Z, Zoom, Zion Missionary Baptist Church. Now somebody say, Brother Carter, why did you skip over X? Well, because there is no denominational church that begins with the letter X, which said to me that when you think of all the denominational and man-made churches flooding and saturating our religious world of society in which we live, which none of them have biblical foundation, listen, nor mentioning in the Word of God, then I say that we can take that X and just X out all those denominational churches. I'm telling you, because there is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one church, which is called the Church of Christ. Now, I know to somebody, this might sound tight, but it's right. And to get in to that church and to become a member of that blood-bought institute called the Church of Christ, if one must come hearing, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing. You must hear that Christ died and was buried and rose again on the third day morning, for yours and my salvation. Then you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then you must repent of your past sin, Luke
free, then you must confess that tongue. What's your tongue? You must confess the sweet name on mortal tongue. You must become before criticizing world and confess the sweet name on mortal tongue. But Jesus said, if you confess me before me, and then I will confess you before my Father. Then last but not least, you got to go down in the watery grave of baptism. Why, Brother Carter? For the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. Why? Baptism will wipe away your past sins. You go down in the water, sinner, but you can come up out of the water, a child of God. And after complying to those steps, Bible says in Acts 2, verse number 47, that those folk that were baptized on the day of Pentecost, about 3,000 souls, Bible said they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, not the preacher, but the Lord added, they didn't join, but the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You don't have to wait to Easter Sunday to become a member of the Lord's church. You don't have to wait once a month when these churches get together and have their consecration Sunday. You can become a member of the Lord's church any day of the week. Of the Bible said the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. My friend, believe me, contrary to popular opinion, when folks say they have nothing in the name, when folks said the Lord didn't name the church, let me be the one to tell you that everything is in the name. And the only church that we can read about in the Word of God is the church of Christ. May God bless you this morning, my friend. And may he keep you in the hollow of his hand until we meet again by the ways of the air. God is good, not some of the time, but God is good all the time. And all the time, my friend, God is good.